Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
So here's a question. If you were to divide humanity into two groups, how would you do it? I've got a couple suggestions of my own. For example, I believe that there are two types of people in the world. There are people who wear shoes without socks, and then there are people who are not gross. It's personal opinion. I believe there are two types of people in this world. People who get their laundry in the bin, and people who get their laundry near the bin. And from my experience, I find that those two people usually marry each other. There's just two types of people. People who fill up when the tank gets just below halfway. And then there are people who see the little warning light as a challenge. I can do this. I bet I can get to Green Bay and back. All right. Well, here's one more. There's two types of people in the world. There's people who think almost ready means I've just got to throw on my jacket, grab my keys, and we can walk out the door. And then there are those who think almost ready means I've just got to hop in the shower, do a load of laundry, fire off a few quick emails. I'm almost ready. Yeah. Those two people also marry each other. Here's the deal. Three things are true of statements like that. One, you almost always know immediately which one you are, don't you? Two, whoever is making the statement is almost always biased, right? They find one position to be more favorable. One option is better than the other. And then three, there's always a lesson in it, isn't there? The wife of my late mentor and pastor is a very sharp woman, very sharp with her words. And something she said once stuck with me. I remember she, to a group of us young adults at the time, she said, you know, there are two types of people in this world. Those who, when they walk into a room, say, "Here I am." And those who, when they walk into a room, say, "There you are." And then she said, "Which one are you going to be?" Boy, that stuck with me. There's a lesson in that, isn't it? It kind of makes you reflect. It really makes you get serious about who am I, really? And which one do I want to be? In the passage of Scripture that we're going to read today, I think Jesus does the same type of thing. He divides humanity into two groups, not to be divisive. Why does he do it? Well, he's got a lesson for us. You and I need to be confronted with the question, which one of these am I, really? You need to wrestle with the question, which one do I want to be? So I'm going to read the passage. It's John chapter 14, 15 through 20, and I want you to see if you can spot it. I'm going to read, then I'm going to pray. When I pray, I invite you to just pray with me. It's a very simple prayer. Let's just say, God, if you have anything to say to me, help me to hear it today. We'll ask that together. But when I read, see if you can spot what I'm talking about, how Jesus kind of divides humanity into two groups. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So would you pray with me about this, church? And Jesus, we have just read these words that You spoke so many years ago, so many centuries ago. And I got to believe they are every bit as relevant and important today as they were back then. We need them, Lord. We need your word. We need to understand this. Lord, I think most of us in this room sincerely want to be people who love you, who live for you. And we need your help in that. And so I praise you that you didn't leave us without help, but you sent a helper. Help us learn what that means, Lord. I pray this in your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so what's going on in this passage of scripture here? You know, Jesus spoke these words on the night before he would die on the cross. So he's gathered in an upper room, a small room, with his closest followers. And Judas has just gone out to betray him. Judas ends up being the type of person who doesn't return the love of Christ back to him. Jesus has just said, I love you. He's demonstrated that by washing their feet. He's commanded them to love each other. And Judas says, I'm out. And he rejects Jesus instead of loving Jesus. And so now Jesus is with his remaining followers. And here's the deal. They will stumble occasionally, but in the long run, they will all end up staying faithful to Jesus. But they don't know that yet. And he says to them, right at the beginning of verse 15, if you love me, right there, see it? That's exactly where Jesus divides humanity into two groups, those who love him and the rest of the world. That's it. And I think he does that so that we will all ask ourselves the question, which one am I? Which group am I in? Here's a few points that Jesus makes about people who love him. Let's walk through this text a little bit. And the first thing I want you to see is that people who love Jesus want to live for him. People who love Jesus want to live for him. Verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, people who love Jesus desire to obey him. People who love Jesus, and listen, this is so much more than a list of rules to follow. It's a person to follow. It's a way of life. But if a Christian is anything, he or she is an apprentice of Jesus. Someone who's following Jesus to learn from him, to grow to be more like him, to learn how to do life his way. And imagine an apprentice that didn't want to learn from their teacher. They wouldn't be a very good apprentice. Imagine an electrician's apprentice saying, you know, I don't want to do it like that. Yeah, I don't really like all these codes. I'm going to do it my own way. That's not an apprentice. He might say he's an apprentice, but a true apprentice says, no, you're the one who knows to do things the right way, and I want to learn from you. I want to do things your way. And Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Meaning, you're going to cherish my way of life. You're going to cherish my values. You're going to desire to do things my way. And here's the deal. The yoke of his commandments is easy. His burden is light. What Jesus has commanded is not cumbersome. What has Jesus most clearly commanded? One, you love God with everything he got. And two, you love others as you love yourself. That's it. And we do that, we kind of keep all the commands. All the other commands kind of come along for the ride if we focus on those two objectives, loving God, receiving his love, and just extending that to other people. And so there's a direct correlation between loving Jesus and living for him. What this also means is that if you spurn his way of doing this life, you don't actually love him. Meaning, if you're content to continually disobey Jesus, you don't really love him. Now, you might get a little nervous at this point and say, well, does that mean that if I sin as a Christian, does that mean I don't actually love Jesus? No, not necessarily. You may have a lapse in your love. In that moment, you may have chosen to love something else more than you love Jesus. And if you're fine with that, that's a problem. If you're okay with it, that's a problem. But if you really love Jesus, when you realize that your love has lapsed, it'll bother you. It'll break your heart. And you'll come to him and say, Jesus, I love you so much more than that. Help me love you. I want to love you better. I want to grow in your love more. Would you help me? And here's the good news. We're not in this thing alone. Second thing I want you to see is that people who love Jesus have a helper. Verse 16, Jesus says, right, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And it's important to note that the condition is not upon the obedience. Jesus doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, I will give you a helper. That's not how the Greek reads. Right, he says, no, if you love me, a couple things are going to be true. You're going to cherish my commandments, and you're going to receive a helper. So basically, what you conclude is that people who love Jesus have a helper. And what is the help here? You know, that word in the Greek is very important for understanding what type of help we are given. The word is a compound word in the Greek, parakleo, meaning called to come alongside. He's the one who is called to come alongside. I want you to picture an athlete who has just really injured their ankle, and another athlete on the field comes alongside them and walks with them and supplies strength to them in a way that they can't, helps them walk in a way they can't. The helper is the one who walks with you. And why? To supply strength where you're lacking. And in what way does he help? You notice it says, I will send you another helper. Who was the first one? Was there two Holy Spirits or something? No, you know who the first helper was? Jesus. Up until this point in the disciples' life, he had been walking along his disciples, strengthening their faith, encouraging them, teaching them, correcting them, showing them the way, showing them the truth, showing them the life, leading them to the Father. Up until then, he had been the helper. And he says, here's what's going to happen if you love me. I'm going to send you another helper. If you want to understand the ministry of the helper, you got to look at the ministry of Jesus. How he was on earth with his disciples is how his helper is on earth with his disciples. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, I'm going back to the Father, but if you love me, you will not be without help. The Father and I are going to send you another helper. And now, who is this helper? Verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. First of all, you notice the helper is a him, not an it. This is not an impersonal force. This is not a notion or a concept. This is a person. And the helper is the very Spirit of God. You know, so there's two types of people in this world. those who forfeit the help of the Spirit of God because they do not love Jesus. And then there are those who love Jesus and have his Spirit alive in them and therefore have his help available to them. Like Jesus had just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm going back to the Father, but you know who I'm going to send you? I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. What's he going to do? He's going to lead you in the way. He's going to show you, he's going to apply to you my life. See, the role of the Spirit of God is to continue the ministry of God in the lives of the people of God. You process that. The Spirit of God takes what the Son of God did and applies it and continues it in the lives of the people of God. And the third thing I want you to see here is that people who love Jesus will be helped specifically, this is the help, to know and experience God. That's the help. It's not help in the form of an easier life. It's not help in the form of, give me my Christmas list. It's a help to know God. And not just to know, but to know down here. To actually know God more deeply. That's the help. See, Jesus, up until this point, he had walked with his disciples and he was encouraging them. He was teaching them, correcting them, leading them, all leading them to God, like a shepherd leading his flock to the pastures where they need to go. He's leading them to the presence of the Father. But now he's leaving. His death is impending. He will die within hours. And he's going to his Father. And he's telling them this. And so you can imagine that there's fear and discouragement and uncertainty flooding their hearts. Wait a second, Jesus, you're leaving us? And Jesus knows what's in their hearts. He says, yeah, I'm leaving you, but you'll have another helper. And they say, they might be thinking, no, listen, you're abandoning us. Yeah, another helper, that sounds great. The Spirit of Truth, whatever, sounds great. But you are leaving us. And Jesus then gives them this promise, verse 18. He says, no, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Well, we could preach, I could live on those two verses from here until the 4th of July. But what I just want you to see right there is that he kept his promise. He says, no, listen, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He came to them. After he rose again, he came to them. Why do you think John, in later chapters, labors so in such detail to describe Jesus coming to his disciples? Thomas, touch, feel the scars. Put your hand in my side. He showed himself to them. And then just a few weeks later, Jesus would send his spirit. And they were flooded with the life of Christ from the inside out. And then every single one of them would live the rest of their life following Jesus, keeping his commands and doing so with the help of the Spirit of Truth. And they would all find something out. Here's what they would find out. Verse 20, he says, in that day you will know. Pause. In what day? In the day when he comes to them after he's raised to newness of life, in the day that he comes to them in the form of the Spirit of God flooding into their lives, in the day when their heart stops beating and the life of Christ carries them into the presence of the Father. Yes, in all of that day, in that day, you will know. What would they know? Listen to what Jesus says. Here's what you're going to know. by the help of my Spirit, by me coming to you, here's what you're going to know, that I am in my Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. See, Jesus' disciples, from this moment on, were on a path of knowing more fully the deep communion that is possible with God the Father in Christ through the Spirit. So what does this mean for us today? Listen, those of us who love Jesus today, what it means is that we have a special relationship with God through His Spirit. His Spirit is not just around us. When Jesus was walking on earth, the Holy Spirit was in Him and working around the disciples. But at Pentecost, the Spirit came and flooded into them. So the Spirit doesn't just work around believers. He works in us. That is uniquely special. That because of what Jesus did in dying on the cross, raising from the dead, we can have a union with God that other people simply cannot participate in. Except they love Jesus. The Holy Spirit's role is simply to help you live in that union. You know, we'd say, oh, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. That's almost cliche now. But boy, it is true. And the Holy Spirit's role, He just wants to help you live in that union all the way until you kick the bucket and go be with the Lord in heaven. And so the Helper is, if I want you to think about this, I want you to ask yourself this question. If the Helper is really with us and in us, if He's really with us, if this is true, don't you think He is eager and available to provide that help? I would say He wants to. So we got to look to Him. As the old psalm says, I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He will neither sleep nor slumber. Behold, the one who keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade for your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Y'all, we got the Holy Spirit. We got the Spirit of God living in us, alive inside us. And what's His goal? It's to keep us. And we must look to Him. His ultimate goal is simply that you will really know that Jesus is in the Father and that you are in Jesus and that Christ is in you. And if anything poses a threat to that union, we got a fighter on our side. When the Old Testament talks about the Lord is my help, it's talking about military strength. It's referring to the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, not an assistant, but someone strong where we're weak. We got a helper. Even the Spirit of truth, who is eager to come alongside and supply strength. And not necessarily to make your situation easier, but to supply strength. He doesn't usually make things easier. He usually supplies strength. He's the helper in that way. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes He does work the miracle, praise God. Sometimes the cancer is healed, praise God. Sometimes the addiction is broken miraculously, praise God. Sometimes the anxiety is relieved, praise God. Sometimes the pain is taken away. And every time that's the case, there's a purpose behind it. God doesn't work miracles for no reason. There's always a purpose. But his ultimate purpose is that come what may, in any and every circumstances, he wants to keep you secure in your communion, in your union with God. That is what he wants to help you do. He wants to make you to make it to the end. So you don't walk through the dark valley and don't end up in the green pastures and the still waters. He's the good shepherd who can and will lead you, shepherd you all the way into the presence of the Father. So here's the deal. There's two types of people in this world. There's people who love Jesus, man, and they just want to live for him and with him. And they get his help. And then there's people who don't love Jesus. There's just the rest of the world. Which one are you? Which one are you going to be? I know which one I want to be. Oh, Lord, I know which one I want to be. Which one do you want to be? Are you going to love Jesus? If that's who you want to be, you've got a helper. And you must learn to look to him for help. Jesus paid too great a price for us to not receive the help that he has sent us. And so I remind you now of the words our Lord spoke that very same night, the night he was betrayed, the night before he'd go to the cross, when he gave thanks, and afterwards he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take now and eat." And likewise, he took the cup. And he said, listen to what he says. "This is my blood poured out for a new covenant, a new chance for human beings like us to be brought into a relationship with God in which Christ is in the Father and we are in Christ and Christ is in us." This is what he shed his blood for. Take now and drink. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we sang earlier, all that we have is a hallelujah. All we can do is just kind of throw up our arms and praise you for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, that if our life was a house, you don't ask us to tidy it up before you come over, but Jesus, you do the work and you prepare the house that the Spirit of God may live in us. I can't even put into words, Lord, how insane it is that the God whom the heavens cannot contain and temples cannot hold would choose to dwell in me, in us. This is what you spoke, Jesus, so we believe it. I pray that you would help us to love you more, Jesus. Increase our desire to know you. Give us a bigger vision of who you are and a more intense desire to know you and to be like you and to live for you. And teach us, Lord, that in every circumstance, teach us how to look to you and to receive the help from the Holy Spirit. We know you're always helping us as is, even if we don't ask, but help us to access that help. Help us to, on a Wednesday afternoon, when we're, be it in traffic or at the office or dealing with something at home or whatever the case, whatever the emotion, would you help us to look to you and say, would you help me right now? and let us receive that help to your glory and for the sake of a world who needs you, I pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May God richly bless you, church. Have a great day. And as the native Wisconsin saying goes, go Pack, go. We'll see you next Sunday.